So tonight we celebrate Holy Thursday, but with the Holy Thursday Mass, we also begin the sacred Easter Triduum, which is composed of three liturgies: Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil of Holy Saturday. And I always think that the way that the church does this is so interesting, because we arrive on Thursday night and Mass starts in the normal way. We start with the sign of the cross, the greeting, the Confiteor, which is, "I confess to Almighty God," and then we sing the Gloria. And nothing is going to be the same until Easter Vigil, Holy Saturday night. So we start Holy Thursday night in the normal way, but soon it gets very not normal. So for example, at the end of this Mass tonight, instead of having a final blessing, we'll process the Blessed Sacrament into our beautiful altar of repose here and spend time in silence with Jesus in prayer. And then tomorrow, at the beginning of the liturgy, silence. No sign of the cross. No, the Lord be with you. The priest comes in, lays on the floor. And then after a few moments, he gets up, opening prayer, liturgy of the word. At the end of tomorrow's Mass, or tomorrow's not a Mass, but at the end of tomorrow's liturgy of Good Friday, it ends very uniquely in a different way. When we begin Easter Vigil, Holy Saturday night, again, we begin in the back with the Paschal fire, and from that Paschal fire will be lit the Paschal candle, and from the Paschal candle, the priest will light his candles, and then the servers will light their candles, and then pretty soon the flame of Christ's light will be spread throughout the church. And then finally, at the end of the Easter Vigil Mass, we finally get to have a blessing again. So it's three liturgies that form a unity, and we start it all today. One of the other interesting things is that we start out in joy as we sing the Gloria. It's been a long time since we've heard the Gloria. We haven't heard it all of Lent, and it's such a festive Gloria that the servers ring bells. Every year I always tell the servers, "I want manly ringing." "Ring it like a man." That's what I say every year to the servers. And they did, so thank you guys. And then what's interesting is that after that Gloria, bells aren't rung again. Not in this Mass. We turn the bells off in our steeple here. Bells aren't rung until the Gloria of the Easter Vigil. And even the organ, one of the traditional things to do is not even to hear organ music during that time, which is why the responsorial psalm was a cappella. We won't have organ accompaniment again until the Gloria of Easter Vigil. It's all a preparation that the church gives us. And how beautiful the church's liturgy is that she gives us. It's an opportunity really to enter in deep into the mystery. And what's beautiful is that we're not just told the mystery, but we see it through sign and symbols worked into various ways in the liturgy with the incense. I don't say anything. The incense isn't about words. It's about an action that expresses what we believe, that we're offering divine worship to God when we come here, and that the divine worship is centered here at the altar of sacrifice. So what a beautiful gift that we have in being Catholic and having the liturgy, and what a beautiful gift to be able to celebrate that liturgy and not just hear the mystery through spoken words, but see it, smell it, experience it through our senses. It's part of the gift of being Catholic. Tonight on Holy Thursday, we celebrate three mysteries. Perhaps the most obvious is the mystery of the institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper. that tonight we celebrate that night when Christ gathered with his disciples for the last time before his death, because he wanted to give them the gift of his love, which is the gift of his own body and blood in the Eucharistic species. And so Jesus breaks bread and he says the same words that I'm going to say tonight at Mass. Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. And then the chalice. This is the blood of the new covenant, which will be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. So it's the gift of the Eucharist, first of all, that we celebrate this evening, the gift that God didn't have to give us. If he had never thought to give us, we would never have thought that he should have. But it's the gift of intimate communion with us. And he gives us his own self to eat and to drink. It's not enough for him to stay at an arm's distance. He wants to be in us. And so again, gift of the Mass. We come here, not only do we hear words, but we see, we experience. I take Christ into my very body. That teaches me something without words. That God isn't just words in my mind, but he's actually a living presence within me. He comes to live in me. That's amazing. So the second mystery that we celebrate today is precisely what Jesus is implying when he says, do this in memory of me. He says this not to a crowd. He says it to 12. 12 men whom he specifically chose to be the first priests. And so this is what the Catholic Church has taught from the very beginning, that on that night, Jesus instituted not just the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, but also the sacrament of holy orders. And that night those 12 men received a gift that they wouldn't understand until the Holy Spirit descended upon them at Pentecost. But the gift was to act in the person of Christ. So that when they said the words, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you, it would be Christ himself speaking in them and doing the same thing that he did at the Last Supper, by giving of his body and blood. So Jesus speaks in the priest, and then he comes in the hands of the priest. There he is. Jesus himself is there. I often marvel at the fact that Jesus chose these 12 because they're quite a ragtag group of men. We have Matthew, who's a reformed tax collector, a big sinner, a reformed traitor to his people. We have Thomas, who famously doubts the resurrection. We have James and John, who are brothers, whom Jesus nicknames the Sons of Thunder. Why? Because they go into a village, the village doesn't receive Jesus well, and so James and John just happen to suggest to Jesus, now granted they've been seeing him work all of these miracles, so they just say to Jesus, well, what if we just rain down fire upon them? And so Jesus nicknames them the Sons of Thunder. And lets them know that that's not what his kingdom is going to look like. And then there's Peter, the leader of all of them. Peter, who so many times is impulsive, speaks without thinking, stubborn, even tonight in the gospel. Jesus wants to wash his feet, and what does Peter say to him? You will never wash my feet. So, as we read the Gospels, it's very clear that these men were not especially competent for the ministry. In fact, they're presented quite the opposite of competent, because they're constantly judging others. They're constantly suspicious of others. They're prejudiced. They're constantly misunderstanding Jesus. Yet Jesus chose each one of them. God does not call them to serve as priests because they're competent, because they're equipped for the ministry, but rather, what does God always do when he calls someone? He chooses and calls them, and then he equips them with the grace that they need. He doesn't call them because they're equipped, but he equips the one whom he calls. And so, on this night, I'm so grateful for this gift that I have received of the priesthood, a gift for which I am especially unworthy, but so grateful. And the gospel today reminds us what that reminded the disciples, taught the disciples, reminds us what leadership always requires, and that's the gift of self. It's serving others. That Jesus, as he said various times in the Gospels, that he didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so those whom Jesus calls to be priest aren't to be put on a pedestal. They're to serve as Jesus served. The third thing that we commemorate at this Mass, this Mass of Holy Thursday, is what we commemorate at the very end. And so after we've distributed Holy Communion with enough host consecrated for tomorrow's Good Friday liturgy, which is not a Mass, we'll end with a ciborium with consecrated host, Jesus himself present on the altar. I'll say the prayer after communion, and then we'll begin our procession. We'll go to the back of church and then back up to the front where we have what is called the altar of repose. And what's the purpose of the altar of the repose? Well, it's to commemorate what happens immediately after the Last Supper. Because what happened at the Last Supper? Jesus eats and drinks with his disciples, he ordains them, teaches them, gives them the gift of the Eucharist, washes their feet, and then they head out singing to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will be betrayed and arrested. And so three of his apostles accompany him there, Peter, James, and John, the same three who accompanied him at the Mount of the Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured before them. This time he's not going to be transfigured before them, but he's going to appear in tremendous poverty. And in front of their eyes, he's going to be prostrate. That's what the Gospels of Matthew and Mark say, that Jesus laid there on the ground. The Gospel of Luke says that he knelt there praying. But either way, what's happening there is that the weight, this is what the fathers of the church said, the weight of the world's sins came down to press upon him, to crush him. And so what happens? Well, he's filled with deep anxiety. He sweats blood. He cries out to his Father, "Father, take this cup away from me. But not as I will, but as you will." And so we see how much pain this was causing Jesus, that he would cry out for God to take it away from him. Yet he affirms his trust and confidence in the Father, that whatever his Father wanted, he wanted too, no matter how painful. And what does he invite his poor disciples there, who must have been thinking, this is the weirdest night of our life? And then he simply asks them to watch and pray, and they can't. They keep falling asleep three times. So this is actually what the church invites us to do tonight through the liturgy. We'll repose the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus himself, in this beautiful altar of repose in a garden. And when the Mass is concluded, we'll have the opportunity to stay and pray, to stay and be with Jesus, to try to answer his desperate request from his friends. please wait here, watch with me, pray. And so what a beautiful evening, one of the most beautiful evenings in the whole year of the church, where we commemorate these two precious, precious gifts, the gift of the Eucharist and the gift of the sacred priesthood through which we have the Eucharist, and then the opportunity to be with our Lord, to be with him in his night of agony. Because it wasn't just the generic sins of the world that pressed upon him that night. It was my sins, and it was your sins. Sins that he paid for that night and into the next days as he continued to shed his blood all the way, loving us to the end as he dies upon the cross. And so tonight, brothers and sisters, in our hearts and in whatever time that we can offer Jesus at the end of Mass, let's respond to his love with our own love in return.